You're listening to The Point. We continue our conversations with the candidates running for state senator in the Plymouth and Barnstable district. The primary is March 3rd with a special election on March 31st, and this is to fill the seat vacated by Vinnie DiMacedo, who accepted a job at Bridgewater State University. Today we talk with Democratic candidate Stephen Michael Palmer from Plymouth. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for this seat.
Well, first of all, I want to welcome myself to the Irish Riviera, found with Massachusetts. Well, the fact is that I'm a member of the Plymouth Redevelopment Authority, as well as the Plymouth Charitable Trust, former town meeting member in Braintree and Plymouth. I've been an auditor for 40 years of my life. Running again for state senator in Pembroke, Kingston, Plymouth, Bourne, Sandwich, and Falmouth. First, I'd like to thank the over 5,000 voters that voted for me in the last election. You all made the right choice. For the Democratic Party is in trouble. We have gone too far left and have lost a lot of good, hard-working people to the Republican Party. For I'm a moderate Democrat, no liberal here, no tax and spend. For who is doing the people's work? Lawmakers approved an $18 million pay raise for themselves. But when we get laid off from our jobs, workers' compensation only gives us half of our paycheck. For we were just getting by on our first paycheck. Charlie Baker approved a $43 billion budget, a king's ransom of our tax dollars, and only $60 million is set aside for new affordable housing, none in our district. That $60 million is 0.00136 of the total budget. Crumbs from a king's table. Just who's been representing us, doing the people's work? Over 18,000 state employees take over $100,000 a year. They act entitled. One maddening example, the Registry of Motor Vehicles loves us to jump through hoops just to renew an already valid license. Shouldn't we be treated like the responsible people that we are? The culture on Beacon Hill must change. I can't do it alone. Can't promise that. Here's what I do promise. Lobbyists and special interest groups will avoid me. I am not politically correct. I will represent you, not the big corporations who take in billions of dollars and pay zero taxes. You can thank the corporate greed and the Republican Party for that. I'm a moderate Democrat. I work for you. I pay my taxes and promise to give back my pay raise, unlike Governor Charlie Baker and the rest of the good old boy political network. We are at war with the billionaires who don't mind adding another $1 trillion to our national debt.
Right. Let's talk about a key issue in your campaign is workforce housing. Tell us a little bit about your ideas, how we could increase that.
Well, I'm for Affordable B. You know, I feel that Affordable B is a good way to go. It's already on the books. It's just the fact is nobody wants it on their backyard. And I feel that it should go to the somewhere near the train station. We have them in Plymouth. We're going to approve a program there right near the MBTA station. And I feel that affordable housing is a very vital and crucial piece to this whole problem. The fact is that, you know, I'm a member of the Redevelopment Authority as well as the Charitable Trust, and we have put hundreds of people in homes in the town of Plymouth with the help of, program director as well as the other commissions that I work with. We've done a pretty good job.
866-999-4626 is our number if you have a question for Stephen Michael Palmer. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Climate change is a big issue on the mind of many voters. What ideas do you have for preparing for the impacts, in particular, of sea level rise?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm not here to talk about troublesome international affairs or the large domestic problems under consideration of our nation's capital. I feel that, I look more at the problems that begin at home. You know, I have talked to the clerks, the town clerks in the towns, and I want them to know that the money will be there if, you know, we have a big storm and we need, you know, more sand and granite to put on the beaches so that would stop the erosion.
Water quality is another issue that folks are concerned about in the district. Thoughts on how we maintain and improve our water quality?
Well, the water quality is a very good subject. It's going to take a lot of testing. It's going to take a lot of expertise in it, and that costs money. And I would support and I would lobby the state legislator to help us. Bourne has a big trouble, and Plymouth has trouble, and we're going to have to find different avenues. We're going to have to conserve more. I feel that the public has to put their part in also.
When we say conserve more, do you think we need more education and conservation then?
Well, education is a good point. I feel that we have to not waste water. We have to use it as a vital fact that, you know, it's going to run out sooner or later, so we've got to start conserving. I remember when I was in the town of Cambridge, Massachusetts, I was running one of the hotels there, and a rock group came in to stay at the hotel, and we were watering the grass when it was raining, and he almost had a heart attack, you know, that we were wasting the water. It's a interesting topic, and the fact is I'm willing to learn. I have two new ears and two new eyes, so I'm looking for more conservation when it comes to water.
What are your concerns when it comes to the decommissioning of the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant?
Well, you know, it's been done, you know, and we're going to have to live with it. There was 650 people there that lost their jobs. I was a town meeting member in Precinct 10, and it took me an act of Congress to get in there and to look at those 4,000 rods in the ground. And so that's one of my topics that one of my main concerns is to restore the $2 million that was taken out of the budget for the emergency 10-mile plan. And the NRC agreed, you know, that's ludicrous to me to feel that, you know, just because it's not running, we don't need a plan. It's a dangerous situation. I feel that the federal government hasn't done enough to secure a safety plan, and that'd probably be one of my first amendments or first issues to make sure that this gets done and gets reapproved, and the funding is for the people. Mm. Nobody seems to be doing the people's work. The NRC is a very strong body that can't be controlled, so I'm going to really have to lobby for that.
You talked about the plans for within around the plant. What about for the district here on the other side of the bridge? We're not included in those evacuation plans, and you know, it's a huge concern of folks here on the Cape if something were to happen with those stored fuel rods.
Well, you know, and I know they've changed hands over there, and the fact is that, you know, the town of Plymouth has created this problem, and you know, the selectmen have created it, and I wasn't a town meeting member when that was approved. And the fact is, again, I think it has to come from regulations with the federal government. Whoever gets in, Kennedy or Markey, I hope they do a little more than they have been doing. I feel I've been abandoned up there. In 9/11, I was living in the Ponds of Plymouth, and I was the airports were closed, and I heard something up in the air, and I looked up, and there was two F-15s flying over the swing sets of my house. I realized how important that power plant is, you know, and it was like I felt safe that day a little, you know, because, you know, what would happen if something really did happen, and I wouldn't want to imagine it. So I really feel that the emergency plan should be enacted. Again, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I do pinpoint my program here on what I'm going to go to the State House with to get accomplished. I'm not going to solve climate control. I'm not going to solve the problems with the nuclear power plant, but they're going to hear somebody different who isn't going to play ball. You know, I'm going to represent the people. I'm going to represent the voters, the 5,000 voters that voted for me last election. I feel that they had confidence in making that choice against the other candidates. So I'm looking for those votes to go up there and do the people's work.
You mentioned that you have three priorities, right? Those are three things that you really want to accomplish. What are those three things?
Well, the first one was the $2 million for the the power plant, you know, and I'm not leaving the other districts out because I think that involves everyone. Because if that emergency is, hope it never happens, but if it does happen, at least we have some plan together. It's an emergency plan, and you know, they took the money out. Why was the emergency plan implemented in the first place? You know, and why was it taken out? You know. Just the fact it's politics, you know, and I feel that a good politician up there could sway the other senators to approve it and have Charlie Baker sign it. I would be on him constantly for that. My second one was the freight trucks coming through Palmer Ave. I feel that that's a big problem, especially during the summertime. I'm sitting on the outside room here and the window adjacent to the street, and it seems that's all that's coming through with the freight trucks. You know, these beaches and this Irish Riviera that we have created here is for the people. It's not for the freight trucks. They have to diversify them to New Bedford. One of the members of my housing board is on the Steamship Authority, and you know, I hit him for some information, and he said that it could go out of New Bedford, but you know, it's all cost and money, and you know, we're talking about a $97 million company. I'm sure they can help the people in Falmouth, definitely during the summertime, not to have those trucks coming through. The fact is that, you know, people from Boston that I talk to will say that, you know, I'd love to go to Falmouth, but the fact is I was 3 hours in traffic at the Bourne Bridge, and I turned around and went home. So, you know, you have to, the traffic is a big problem, and it's the noise, it's the pollution, and it shouldn't be around here. Mm-hmm. This isn't in dust. This is a residential area. Drive up to Woods Hole. It's except for the, you know, Oceanic, I just feel that they shouldn't be coming down that street like the way they are. The third one would be more affordable housing for the crisis that we're in. And when I say affordable housing, in Plymouth, affordable housing is 300,000. You know, we've had a little lower than that on other different projects. I think the lowest one was 360. We take money from builders that don't approve affordable housing, and what we use that for is having veterans and working class people help them with down payments so they can buy the house, and they'll pay the trust back. So it's been implemented, and it is a solution, but there's not enough of it. I really feel that there should be 40Bs. I don't know why people don't like them. It's kind of like, oh, I don't want a project. It's not a project. In Boston, I've worked for Ray Flynn, as well as I was with the Governor King. It's just the fact is that, you know, Diane Wilkerson built some beautiful townhouses in Roxbury and Dorchester, and I feel that they should be in every district.
You mentioned traffic. Other than the freight trucks coming through here, what about traffic throughout the rest of the district? That's a big problem. It's a problem in Plymouth. Have you have thoughts about improving that through some kind of expansion of mass transit? What are your thoughts on how we can ease this traffic problem?
Well, I just want to say that I've lived in Plymouth for 23 years after I left South Boston, and I put over 1 million miles in 23 years on three different cars. My Miata died last summer at 392,000. So I'm very familiar with the traffic. Being from South Boston, we took the City Point bus into City Hall. So, you know, it was convenient. It was cheap back then, but now there's problem. Buses are expensive to go into the city, and I think it should be supplemented. I think the Steamship Authority, if we can run the Steamship Authority to the islands, I think we can run a boat from here to Boston somehow. I'm looking for a third rail up the medium strip of the highway. Sure, the federal government can come in with money, and we have to try something different. We have to look outside the box. We just can't constantly, you know, go into town. We need share rides. We need, you know, we have to make incentives, et cetera, for people to, you know, have another option than, you know, my wife, God rest her soul, she took the bus from 4 o'clock in the morning, didn't get home till 8. You know, I worked nights, so I took care of the kids, and she came home and, you know, did her part also. But, you know, it's a stress on people too. We don't call it the highway, we call it the stressway.
Lots of small business in the district. What are your thoughts about, you know, in the lines of economic development?
Well, the fact is that we have to ease up the traffic, especially in the summertime, because, you know, tourist season is big around here, and, you know, tourists is number one in Falmouth alone, and we just have to have more people come in and more people use the beaches, as well as shop at their stores and shop at the restaurants. And, you know, it's kind of like I went to get my ashes today over St. Patrick's, and I stopped at the diner there to get coffee, which I always do after Mass. And they have a 7 o'clock Mass there. And the fact is that the woman in the diner said, you know, Steve, what's going on? And I said, oh, nothing. And we started talking, and they said, it's killing our business. I said, what's that? He says, the detour. And it's kind of like, why don't they do it at night? You know what I mean? Why don't they dig up the streets at night? And, you know, it just feels that, you know, here's, and she says, oh, this is the fifth week now. So, you know, it's stuff that begins at home. The problems that begin at home, the comprehensible, manageable problems that can be solved with care, action, and commitment by the people. You know, it's common sense also. You know, let's just not think that, you know, it's all going to be changed tomorrow. It's going to be changed by two new eyes, two new ears, and one new voice, you know, where, you know, before it was just the status quo.
We have about a minute left. Is there something else you'd like to say that I didn't ask you about, that you'd like to differentiate yourself between the other candidates?
Well, again, my name's Stephen Michael Palmer for state senator. I'm going to be two new eyes, two new ears, one new voice. My late father said God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Been listening about the taxes, the injustices on Beacon Hill, two high state senators, two high state salaries. My voice will shout out against the pay raises, against corporate greed, against corporate welfare. The problem is the culture on Beacon Hill. No more Big Brother, no more tax and spend. Airbnbs are a good example. That is your property, not their tax opportunity. We are desperate in the need of affordable housing. We have seniors who can't afford the basic necessities. My name is Stephen Michael Palmer. I want to do the people's work. You can remember me as the golfer. Four.
We'll have links to all of our conversations with the candidates running for the state Senate seat representing the Plymouth and Barnstable District at our website, capeandislands.org. Stephen Michael Palmer, thanks for being here this morning.
My privilege.
We wrap up these conversations tomorrow with Republican candidate Jay McMahon. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.